Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Yeah! So, yeah, freefoodandmedicine.com. Or if you want to give me credit for whatever you do at Marcus Rothkran's website, go to freefoodandmedicine.net. That's my affiliate link. But, you know, I believe in this stuff so much that I want you to go to the .com or the .net. It doesn't matter. Like I said, if you want to give me credit, go to the .net. Otherwise, it's whatever. I don't do this for the money, although the money helps. At that, I also have the .org. So if you go to freefoodandmedicine.org, you'll see our blog, our podcast, our Facebook group, our Discord, and many more. A couple things I want to touch on. I'm going to touch on some topics from our last broadcast. I want to touch on herbs that repair DNA. And I want to touch on Discord. Okay. Starting with DNA. Marcus Rothkranz, in this prelude to the podcast recording, it was originally a 6-minute recording, but I cut it and made it a 3-minute recording. He talks about what herbs help to fix the DNA. A lot of my hippie associates or pot smoking associates harp on and get hung up on the fact that marijuana helps fix the DNA and different things in the body that other herbs don't do. Not only that, but growing them with your other plants help to restructure the DNA in those plants. However, if God was so powerful and so omnipotent, whatever that word is, if God was all-knowing and all-powerful like a lot of believers say he or she is, wouldn't they perceive this government making certain types of marijuana, whatever, illegal in our history? Wouldn't they know that ahead of time and create alternative plants that would also do similar things as marijuana? Now, not only one plant is a cure-all for any disease. You know, that's why we practice God's medicine, to understand all the different herbs that will help us with all the different problems. Now, there is no magic bullet. There is no cure-all. There is no fix-all unless you change your lifestyle. You know, I still consume food paints, which is probably why I have my allergy issues. You know, I drink Gatorade every once in a while. It's got food paint in it, red number 40, blue whatever, yellow whatever, blah, blah, blah. A lot of our foods and a lot of our drinks have food paint in it and other chemicals. We breathe chemicals every day in our air because of chemtrails or whatever. But it's about quantity of changing your lifestyle. So you want to have at least 75% of good things coming into your body so that you can offset the 25% that is not good coming into your body, or more or less, whatever. Ideally, you want 100% good stuff going into your body, but that's impossible. Not today. But as close as you can get to 100%, somewhere between 75 and 100% is optimal. You definitely don't want over 50% negative stuff going into your body, because that's when you start having medical problems. Probably, you know, anything more than 25% will start giving you medical problems. But the only real problems I have is this allergy thing and nail fungus. And that's because I like sweets. So sugar causes problems. So I take herbs to help balance out the sugars, like cinnamon and whatnot. But it's about knowing what your problems are, what your strengths and weaknesses are, knowing what your poison is, and counterbalancing it the best that you can. Now, Marcus Rothkranz would not agree with that 100%. He might agree with it a little. I'm not an extremist like some of my alternative health people. But because I understand, you know, people's weaknesses to sweets and alcohol and different things. If you have an alcohol addiction, you need to take more vitamin B, you know, things like that. You know, there's other things, but vitamin B is the main thing. And you'll want to take things to help fix the liver, because you're going to create liver problems. So, DNA. That also brings to mind Ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo biloba is what they call a hermaphrodite tree. It will change its sex to suit its needs. So if it, a lot of people in the cities only plant male ginkgo bilobas because the fruit from the tree stinks. Well, if the tree changes its sex in order to reproduce, it kind of defeats that purpose. Well, nature will find a way. I'm sure that ginkgo biloba is not the only herb or plant that changes its DNA to suit its needs or our needs or the needs of the environment around it. Everything's always changing. It just may not change overnight. Now, like I say, ginkgo might change more quickly than some of these other herbs. But, you know, if we have a DNA structure problem, I'm sure there's going to be other herbs like raspberries and raspberry leaves that will help us restructure our DNA and the other plants in the environment. I forgot the other stuff that helps restructure the DNA, but I believe it was the raspberry plant that is one of them. But you'll have to read Marcus Rothkrantz's book, Free Food and Medicine, Worldwide Edible Plant Guide, in order to find out or listen to our previous podcast, because we did podcast about that. Discord. We have a Discord group. But with all this new world order, rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, and censorship, we may not have a Discord group in the future. Ice Age Farmer just got deleted last week. Their account got terminated. Now, you want to follow Ice Age Farmer. They do appear a little bit like fear mongrels, and maybe they're going a little over the top with some of their things, but they have a lot of valid points. We need to grow our own food. We need to learn, study, and find wild edibles and cultivate those. Like we have Chinese lanterns that grow on our land. Now, this year the goats ate most of them. But I want to have a yard, a fenced-in yard, that's totally dedicated to these Chinese lanterns because they are very delicious. I can't eat too many of them or I get an upset stomach. You know, I can eat a handful or two at a time. But they're just, they're so good. But it's in the nightshade family. And it's edible. It's good for you. And it's wild. It grows everywhere. My other property that I don't really go to very often because I got scammed into it and I'm only a joint owner. I just kind of grow. I grow things on it that either won't grow on my main property or things that I don't want to grow on my main property. I grow it over there. But it has a ton of these Chinese lanterns on it. So I'm about to go over and start harvesting them because we don't have goats over there to eat them. But yeah, once I have my fenced in yard, I can cultivate them and grow them with and keep them protected. And they grow naturally. I don't got to babysit them. I don't got to water them. I ain't got to pour anything special on them to get them to grow. They just grow. And that's what we want. We want things that grow naturally in the wild that we can cultivate and eat. We don't have to worry about spraying chemicals on and whatever. Because they've already got their own built-in natural defenses or whatever. I mean, the bugs do eat some of these Chinese lanterns, but they don't eat all of them. Just a couple, you know, or whatever, just a little bit. Not enough. So anyways, Ice Age Farmer, they're talking about a lot of things. Like last week, they were talking about, well, a couple days ago, I watched their video on YouTube, which they might not be on YouTube much longer either. They like to get rid of people like us. But they were talking about, we're not actually global warming. We're global cooling right now. So our winters are going to be longer, shorter here for us Democrats. It's harder to grow certain things. So we need to start doing greenhouses, and we need to start doing things that will grow in a colder climate from where we are right now, because we're going into global cooling. So pay attention to Ice Age Farmer. Look them up. Follow them. They're on Facebook. They're on YouTube and Twitter. But they got kicked off of Discord. We may eventually get kicked off of Discord also. So I'm going to be working on a backup plan. They want to silence us. So I may not be on Facebook much longer because they're censoring me like crazy on Facebook. I'm always in Facebook jail. So back to my, and I already got deleted from YouTube, so I'm not on YouTube anymore. They terminated my account in 2017, almost exactly a year before they got rid of Alex Jones, to the date. So my previous podcast, I talked about a couple things. We are taking the organic out of our name, or I made that decision, because we're not able to be 100% organic. I'm tired of being berated for it. We are going to still try and maintain our goal of working towards being 100% organic. But because we may not be able to achieve it to a standard where I'm not going to be berated for it, I'm taking the name out of the name. But again, we're still going to try and be as organic as possible. For example, this may not be 100% organic, but I got some Miracle-Gro from Walmart the other day. I got a bunch of it because it was like 50% off. You know, 1 gallon jugs for $5. You know, I might be able to do better online if I buy it in bulk and start doing wholesale. But to me, that's a pretty good deal, right? So it may not be 100% organic. It looks pretty natural to me, but I'm not a rocket scientist like David. You know, he knows all these fancy words, and he does a lot more reading and a lot more research than I do. I'm so busy trying to be productive and make money, I don't have time to do as much research. Where he spends probably 75% of his day on the phone. Or reading, you know, whatever. I don't know. He retains information better than I do. But he does like to read. He does do a lot of research. But he doesn't do a whole lot of work. So I got to. And so I don't got time to do the research. I try, you know, but it's whatever. We just got to do what we got to do. So, like I said in the last podcast, we don't have a 100% organic solution for keeping our goats dewormed. So, We have to do what we have to do to keep our goats from dying. So I get them tested. If they got worms, I give them the medication that they need. And then I up the dose of herbs that I put in their feed because I know that we don't have our formula right. Now, of course, we don't give them as much feed in the summer as we do in the winter. But parasites are more prevalent in the winter because they have less viable food to help keep down the parasites. There's a lot of herbs out there, wild edibles, that will help the goats and us fight worms in our bodies. But in the winter, those things die back. But we give them feed in the winter, and that's when I supplement their feed, or that's how I supplement their feed with herbs, so we kind of help them keep the worms down. Anyways, like I said, I'm the one working on the formula to try to keep the worms down. I don't have any help in that department. Once I am able to crack the code and give them a proper diet of deworming herbs, I won't need any medication. Then I can say we're 100% organic with our goats. But until then, I can't. So I can't say that I'm 100% organic. And I don't feel like being berated for not being 100% organic when I've got the organic in my name. So I'm taking the organic out of the name, and I'm going to still try and be as organic as possible. So back to Miracle-Gro. Now, I'm not going to put the Miracle-Gro straight onto the plants. What we do is we get these 55-gallon drums, plastic drums, and we do rainwater collection for hydroponics, well, for watering the plants. But we raise fish in those water buckets or drums to keep the mosquitoes down. And therefore, it's more like hydroponics because of the fish poop. So it's fish water that we use for our plants. So we do a lot of rainwater collection. At that, some of the 55-gallon drums that we do, we add different nutrients to the water, and we use that as compost. And so we call it a compost tea. So any kind of liquid or nutrients that I can put in there, liquid nutrients or powder or something that will break down and go into the water, I put in there. So that's where the Miracle-Gro comes in, or other, plant food. So I put these plant foods in these 55-gallon drums, and it rains. And it fills up the drums. And then we got basically liquid compost. Now we also compost as much as we can, Like say in the summer we trim trees. We split the big stuff for firewood. Cut and split. Then the rest goes basically into the ground. So we just bought a chipper. So anything that will go through, it's a small chipper. So anything that will go through the chipper, we chip. Anything bigger than that, we cut up for firewood, whether it's kindling or whatnot. And then, so whatever goes to the chipper, and of course the leaves and stuff like that, ends up being wood chips and or compost. And so, you know, we mix in different things, and we make our own compost. Now, we're not making a lot of compost per se. We make more liquid compost than we do the dirty compost. But once we get like a farm tractor or something like that, then we'll be apt to do that more. There is a place that I can get seed husks for free and broken down seed husks for free. I can get walnut hulls for free. Sawdust for real cheap. All this stuff I gotta pay to have it hauled in if I want a dump truck load, but if I just wanted, you know, to fill my pickup truck up or a trailer with it, then it would be practically free for most of it. We got a place that we can get sand out of a riverbed, which is not really sand. It's like dirty sand. It's real thick, but it's sandy. That would help aerate our compost if we put that in it. You know, so we do small amounts of composting as far as dirt goes, but not a lot. Mostly composting. But we do try to haul in. We got a friend who's got a sheep farm, so we get manure from her. Our neighbor's got horses. Well, no, he just sold his property. So we don't got horse manure access anymore. But maybe cattle. We got plenty of chicken farms we can get manure from because the Amish and the Mennonites around us. So we got plenty of resources to make compost. Okay, I got 90 seconds left. It's been my experience. I can go to 45 minutes. So I'll just keep talking until they cut me off. So we technically got like 15 more minutes. But we're nearing the end of our Blog Talk Radio. They only allow us so many minutes total before they start charging us extra. So once we reach our total maximum, then we will be no longer doing Blog Talk Radio. And you'll find the rest of the story, rest of our podcast at freefoodandmedicine.org. What else? There's something I was talking about in the previous podcast that I wanted to mention, but now I forgot. But yeah, I haul cattle feed in the winter. And of course, I put that, you know, I give that to the animals as a supplement. It's got a lot of nutrients in it. And I also add that to our compost tea. And I wouldn't say it's 100% organic, because some of the corn and the soybean oil that's in the product is probably GMO. But it's still an organic compound. So it's not 100% organic, because you can't get organic soybeans anymore, hardly. Now, that being said, I have been collecting soybeans. They are GMO soybeans, I presume, because I've been collecting them from these plants that I go to collect the byproducts. The soybean byproduct. So I collect that. I collect soybeans that are laying on the ground. Because they don't want them. They don't care. People run over them. So I collect the ones that are still, that still look viable. And next year I'm going to start trying to grow my own organic or as organic as possible soybeans. Not necessarily for our own needs, but for our animals. They like the soybeans. Now, from what I understand, soy is technically toxic unless you process it properly. And of all places, apparently only China processes it the way it's supposed to be processed. And supposedly it needs to be fermented to be in order to be processed properly. And here in the U.S., we use a chemical process in order to process it to neutralize the chemical that is supposedly toxic in the soybean. I don't have first-hand knowledge of any of that. It's all hearsay evidence. So do your own homework. But anyway, so we're going to grow our own, or try to grow our own soybeans so that we can try to ferment them and process them properly on our own. And then we can make our own soy products and have soy for our animals. And it'll be natural, not this other crap. But anyways, next year I might be hauling fertilizers. They may not be 100% organic either. But the most organic ones possible. See, what I do when I go home, if I got product on the tank, you know, it's only like maybe 5 gallons left on the in the tank after I make my deliveries or whatever. Might even only be a gallon or a half gallon. I get the heel off the trailer. And I bottle it, and I do whatever I think I need with it. I've done this for years. Depends on what product I'm hauling. And I, you know, if I got extra bottles on the road, I'll bottle it while I'm on the road. If I go home, I'll do it at home. But, you know, with this company, we don't go to tank washes, where other companies I work for I used to go to tank washes after I deliver every load. Well, they're just going to wash that product down the drain. So I'm like, well, if I can use it, I'm going to capture it. I've got things. I've got organic and inorganic fertilizers I've collected over the years. Antifreeze that I hauled. Military motor oil. Which, that was some really good stuff. That's like $75 a gallon motor oil. And that's wholesale, not retail. So, you can imagine how much that stuff is worth. But I used that stuff for a while. It was amazing. But I'm out. I would love to get my hands on some of that. But anyhow, I'm working on getting some storage tanks on the land so I can sell cattle feed. And like I said, next year I'm talking about hauling fertilizer for a fertilizer company in the summer. And I hope to sell the more organic ones. I already know of an organic. It's not 100% organic because the corn might be GMO. But it is a corn and some other ingredient. I think it's salt or something. Product that I we haul from up in Nebraska. And that's not very far from where I live. So I have some of that hauled down to my place if I don't haul it. And I can sell that. It's a corn fertilizer. Like I say, it may not be 100% organic. It might be a GMO corn, but it's an organic compound. And so I think my theory is that the nature, the earth will, you know, work with that and convert it back to its natural source. I don't know. But anyways, like I said, I'm going to try to be as organic as possible. It's hard to find organic fertilizers and organic products on the market anymore. But if we can get as close to organic as possible, we're doing a good thing. Oh, yeah, Seven Dust. Now, I haven't actually done any research on Seven Dust, so I'm... It's all hearsay evidence as well. But rumor has it that Seven Dust is the safest over-the-counter, non-organic pesticide that you can use on your plant. I don't know. But I talked about that on my last podcast. What I want to do, for starters anyways, is mix like diatomaceous, because that's a popular pesticide, and it's organic. Mix the Seven Dust with the diatomaceous earth and do some research on other herbs that will also work to be pesticides and put that in the product as well and use that as a pesticide. So even though the Seven Dust is in there, it's so little that it's not really a problem, if there is a problem. You know, so the diatomaceous earth, we get it cheap, right? So that's going to be the carrier. And I use that as a carrier for my dewormer product that I put in the cattle feed, because diatomaceous earth is also a dewormer, but it won't kill all parasites. So I use it as my carrier. And then I add in the other dewormer herbs into it. So I'm also looking at using that as my carrier for my pesticides as well. So just food for thought. I got to thinking, David Ray's phone's not working. So we'll probably not do a podcast this week at 4 or whatever, but his phone should be working next week. We're slowing down. We're not as busy as before. So we'll get back to doing our free food and medicine podcasts for the winter. While in the summer, we'll be practicing it. But again, don't forget to check out our website and Marcus Rothkrantz's website at freefoodandmedicine.com for Marcus Rothkrantz. Freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for going to Marcus Rothkrantz's website. And freefoodandmedicine.org, where you'll find all the rest of our stuff. And freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com will basically bring you here to our Blog Talk Radio. And if they ever decide to censor us and get rid of us, then I'll redirect the freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com to our other podcasts, where I basically upload a duplicate of this podcast there. But I'm using my other podcast to record this podcast. So at that podcast, you actually get more information, because Blog Talk only gives us so much time. And if we go into overtime, then you can still hear us on the other podcast where we give you the rest of the story. So, we're approaching our 45-minute mark. So I'll go ahead and conclude the Blog Talk Radio, and I'll go ahead and maybe hang up unless I think of something else to say. But check out manicmondaypodcast.com to check out all our other podcasts like ScrapGov Scrap and Demented Dungeons and Dragons, which was our original podcast where we were talking about farm-related stuff, and then it kind of became our miscellaneous podcast where we talked about anything and everything. And we came up with some pretty wild topics there. So, and we, if we ever have time, we may fire up the Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast again. But right now we're just too busy, and I got way too many irons in the fire, and I have very little help. So I got my hands full. But I'm trying to get all these podcasts updated over the winter, because I need to get our ScrapGov Scraps one updated. It's not updated. And our Free Food and Medicine one updated. I've mostly been just playing on Facebook and Discord, updating that stuff. So that's where most of my activity is over the summer, because it's quick and easy. I can do it on the phone. But over the winter, like I said, I got more time. I'm over the road driving truck, so I got more time to get on the PC and do more PC work. So, all right. I guess that's it. I guess I'll go ahead and hang up now. Okay, bye. No, that didn't work.